morning, everybody. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Or as my mom used to say, Happy Easter bunnies. It's a greeting flooding Facebook today, and Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, and other platforms I'm just too old to try. These rightfully cheery Easter salutations picture things we expect to see this day. Chocolate bunnies, colored eggs, baby chicks, and flowers. These are Easter for a lot of us, right? And I personally love the way they express the essence of this day. Newness, brightness, life. After months of rain and cold and dark, it's just what we need to get going again. There are other images of Easter, of course. Some of what I would call a churchier sort. Three crosses on a lonely hill, a single cross covered with flowers, a rock tomb standing open and bare. The last, an image preferred by a lot of folk. Being how I'm dressed and where I work, you might also think I would prefer this image of an empty grave. But you'd be wrong. Give me blooming buds and yellow chicks and bright sun-kissed fields, because they're far better signs of what Easter means than an empty tomb could ever show. Signs. I checked with what I would call the lesser god, Google, and it says a sign is, quote, something that suggests the presence of something else. You know, giving flowers to somebody to show you love them. The tomb where Jesus' corpse was buried was later, we're told, found empty. And for many, that emptiness is a sign or evidence that he was raised from the dead. Ah, but nobody saw the resurrection, saw the dead Jesus rise and walk out, and CCTV was down on that particular Sunday morning. It's true, loads of people personally saw Jesus die. The Jews themselves acknowledged he was missing from the grave, and independent sources, even written in history, confirm the same. But when mourners arrived to anoint the dead the body wasn't there. Proof of resurrection? I'm not so sure. Sometimes when I search for my glasses here, forgetting I'd left them somewhere else, their failure to be where I just knew they were just proves a certain brain is getting old. Not to mention the fact grave robbing was a real problem in those days. No. An empty grave was not the reason they believed Jesus again lived. They believed for a far more personal reason. They believed because they saw and they touched the living, breathing Jesus, his flesh forever marked by nails and side slashed open by a spear. And it was this upfront, face-to-face encounter, not something they read in a book. It was this face-to-face encounter that transformed these grieving people. The Bible reports Jesus appeared to many, to Mary Magdalene and other women, several times to the remaining 11 apostles, to crowds who had assembled along the shores of Galilee, to more than 500 other followers gathered somewhere else, and finally to Paul himself. They had watched him die with their very own eyes, and they would have bet the farm that he'd stay dead. Then they walked with, spoke with, and ate with the risen Jesus, and death no longer caused them fear. Impossible, you know, to dismiss a once dead, now living friend. They realized, not up here, but in here, that death is an empty power undone by the love of God. All this is to say that trust that death will never defeat life had nothing to do with an empty grave. It came from a firsthand, skin-to-skin encounter between Jesus and hundreds of his followers. Crucifixion was for bad people, unworthy of association, and the fact a crucified criminal was revered and followed still baffles an awful lot of non-Christians. Mere days after being killed on that cross, the movement Jesus started, which wasn't yet a church, that came later, the movement Jesus started just took off. And within weeks, it declared Jesus the Messiah, the Savior, and within a year, the incarnation of God in flesh, what I've always liked to call God with skin on. So how in blazes did a movement born from Judaism about a criminal become the church? A worldwide community of the risen Jesus. And probably a better word than how is actually why. Why did a poor man born in a stable to a girl unwed and socially stigmatized, a man condemned a criminal and shamefully executed, why have millions of souls for over 2,000 years followed and even willingly died for Jesus the Christ? I give you my answer. It's because Easter gives us a vision, and it gives us a promise of what lies ahead for us. For you, for me, for every living thing. You see, Easter is really the preview of what awaits all earthly life, our own resurrection from death. And I'm going to say that again, because it may be shocking to some, might not have heard this before. Easter is a preview of our own resurrection from death. Going back to the early church, belief in universal restoration and resurrection has always been commonplace among Christians in the Greek, Ukrainian, Russian, Latvian, Estonian, and other Orthodox churches. For many of our Eastern siblings, every hell-bound soul is liberated. The God of Jesus Christ abolished death's power. The God who lets no one be lost forever. Sadly, tragically, belief in the resurrection of all life, and that includes creation itself, is fairly unfamiliar here in the West, though it's slowly gaining ground. And this declaration, this promise of life eternal, you and I, and gosh, we're pretty much full this morning, but churches around the world, across the world, are celebrating this very same thing. We're celebrating the declaration and promise of life eternal. Life eternal. We're proclaiming that, and we will soon be declaring it in this service's baptismal covenant. We're proclaiming and celebrating Jesus' resurrection, and yes, your and my and all creation's resurrection as well. So, happy Easter, beloved children of God. Resurrection awaits us all. Amen.